Walter Rashka, Gian Clark, coming Luke Glasgale, and a shock on the show as a special Ulster final GA programme tonight. We're with you until 9:30, and well, that's Donegal's most famous piper, Christy Murray, warming us up and getting us in the mood there with the Hills of Donegal, getting us back to the second part of the programme. I'm in studio here with Oliver Prunty, Paddy McDyer, and Michael Lafferty. Well, Michael, Ultra final day. How big is it? How big was it when you were playing? How big is it?
It's the biggest day in the GAA calendar in Ulster, without a doubt. And walking up that hill up into Clonus, as we used to have to do in the old days, the bus didn't bring you right into the ground, and you could feel the atmosphere on the streets, and.
No Garda escort, was there? No?
No Garda escort in those days, no. Not in those days. There is now. You're brought right in at the back of the ground since the ground was revamped. But in the old days, we were in the old dressing rooms high above the town end goal there. And we made our way in there. And
of course, there was no stand in Clonus back then.
There was no stand, and the dressing rooms were pretty porous. You could hear the atmosphere sort of seeping into the dressing room from outside, you know.
Yeah.
And it was probably for most players, it was a nervous time. But once you get out onto the pitch then, and, you know, all the nerves disappeared and you just got on with it.
As I say, you were winning your second in 83. How did it compare to the one in 74?
I was quite young in 74. I was only 19. And I suppose I didn't appreciate it fully. We drew it down the first day, and then we beat them then in the replay. And there was a gap then of 9 years. Well, we had been in the final a couple of times in between without success, but 83 was the next success for us. In 74, I was only on my second year in the team, and probably thought, it's going to be like this every year, but... I'm afraid it didn't happen that way. Yeah. It was 9 years before we won another.
Yeah, and of course that was the going on to win the All-Ireland.
You
won in 90, didn't you?
In 90, yeah.
Yeah. 7 years or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Oliver, what's your memories of 83?
Not good. I was at the game, definitely, and I was on the terrace, and I remember Cavan were coming back. Donegal got a penalty near the end. We were 3 points up, and Seamus Bowler very tactically kicked the ball over the bar. Now, we were ripping because if our goalkeeper had saved it, we maybe go up the field and have a chance of getting the equaliser, but Seamus was right. He took the point, and Donegal, won by 4 on the day. I'm not sure. But we're shocked and disappointed. 83, it was 14 years from we'd won our last one, and we still didn't win one, you know. At that stage, some of us were able to remember the good times of Cavan football. But it was a disappointment, but sure, look at this, the sport is, you have to get over it. But it was a great win for Donegal. And
can you remember the Cavan team that day? Or?
I can't remember all of the Cavan team.
Michael Faulkner was a midfield, was he? And Adge King and... I think our guest coming on now shortly, Stephen. Possibly
he would come on then too. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And
Ray Cullivan, Adge King was in the middle.
There was I think that year Cavan beat Tyrone in the first round, and I think there was a Lynch fella from Virginia, Rama United, who scored some great frees on the day.
Yeah,
and. Sure, it's 83, it's a while back, but nobody remembers losers. You always remember winners, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say I'm joined by one of the stars of Cavan that day, Stephen King, on the phone. Stephen, how are you? Good night to you.
Tom, I'm good. Thanks. Good night to all. How are you?
And we're having a ball up here with Christy Murray in with the bagpipes and everything. You missed him a couple of moments ago, but I'm sure you've seen him from time to time at Donegal games.
I have indeed, yeah. Hopefully the music is low on Sunday.
Tell me, what's the mood in Cavan?
The mood is very good, Tom, I have to say. It's very good. The build-up is great. We're obviously, we're raging underdogs, but look, an Ulster final is an Ulster final. Preparation has been going well. Cavan have played a nice brand of football this year, I feel they're playing quite well. And I think it's a really good final for both supporters and players. There's a great affinity and relationships and friendships with Cavan people and Donegal people. So I think it'll be good on the field and on the terraces. I think the banter will be quite good, and I think it's a good pairing for an Ulster final.
Tell me, and what's your memory of 83? I know you went on 1-1 in 97, but what's the memory of 83 first? We'll get you to recall that one first.
Yeah, go back to the easy ones. Oh, yeah. I think as I was saying, you'll always remember the ones you win, you know. But, you know, I can remember 83, absolutely, and Donegal were the better team in the day, but we hadn't competed in the finals in 69, and we hadn't won one. The last one we won in 69 as well. But, look, we were in the match all the way, really, at that stage. It was nip and tuck, but I suppose overall, as they were saying, they put the penalty over the bar and they won by 4 points. And to be fair to them, you know, it is a huge, huge move even that time for Cavan to get to the Ulster final. And the build-ups were the same, really, you know, probably extended a wee bit in 97. You know, there was a total euphoria in 97 because you won.
Yeah. And, of course, 97, Martin McHugh was the manager, so there was a Donegal input there as well.
There was a huge input there. And I suppose, like, our success in 97 was absolutely terrific. But we built on a wee bit of what the youngsters had done at under-21 level in 95 and 96. They got to an All-Ireland semi-final and they got to an All-Ireland final and they were after winning Ulster. And those youngsters came in, you know, and played with the bandmen, like the Riley brothers and guys like that, you know, Peter and Larry, Jason, all those were in the under-21 panel. So they were really an added bonus to our team in 97, and that, you know, made us really in 97. And look, we had experienced guys playing there as well, and it was just that good mix. And obviously Martin brought an awful lot of, how would you say it, experience. You know, he's absolutely experienced winning Ulster titles, but above all, he won in All Ireland. He probably made us, you know, be able to be more productive with the ball, not to be giving away a cheap ball and stuff like that. And that, you know, that really helped us, and that got us over the line. I know we beat his own county in the semi-final, Donegal, and you know, it was a great game. And in the first round, we actually could have been knocked out by Fermanagh. So you also need to rub the green, Tom, you know, sometimes. Particularly in Ulster at that time, there was no second chance in qualifiers or anything like that. But there really is no second chance in Ulster anyway.
Yeah, and of course, I suppose if we talk about 92, Donegal maybe escaped out of Breffni Park in 92 as well. I think Martin McHugh and Tony Boyle, I'm not sure which of them got the goal. Both of them claim it, I think.
Yeah, they were chatting about that today. I was in Donegal today. We were just chatting about that. Cavan probably could have beaten Donegal, particularly in the first day of the drawn match. And, you know, we went up to Ballybuffet in a desperate wet day and we were thumped out of it. You know, Donegal was convincing winners. But, you know, it was just amazing. Like, we could have actually beaten Donegal in 92. But I have no bother putting hand on heart and saying we would not have went on and won the Ireland. So maybe it was the luck of the gods that Donegal won and they went on because it was a fantastic team at that time. And, they were, you know, it was a great breakthrough to win the Ireland in 92 for Donegal. But, you know, that was the Ulster Championship at the time and still is a wee bit. There's no foregone conclusions in the Ulster Championship, particularly in the earlier rounds. There's always some kind of an upset over the years.
Yeah, and Michael Lafferty is here in studio. Of course, Michael was on the team in 83 and a mentor to Brian McAniff in 92. Donegal lucky enough to escape, Michael?
Lucky enough to escape that day in Breffni, certainly. If memory serves me, I think Martin McHugh, he scored a late free.
Yeah.
And that gave us the opportunity to replay in Ballybuffet. But as Stephen said there, the second day, I think Donegal were by far the better team. Conditions were poor now in Ballybuffet, I'd have to say. But the first day now, we got a scare, all right, in Breffni, you know.
Yeah. But teams that are successful tend to get that. You find that down to the course of history, you know. How often have you heard the teams escape, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it very often happens, you know, and that was a case in point there, you know, where, you know, probably Donegal supporters wouldn't have given us a huge amount of hope that year, but yet we ended up winning it.
Yeah.
So you do need that rubber of the green, as Stephen says.
Yeah. Stephen, I have Paddy McDyer here as well, son of the great Columba McDyer, of course, played with you, Cavan, in 47 in the Polo Grounds, obviously a name that still highly thought of in Cavan football circles.
Oh, absolutely. So they always talk about those great teams. you know, the 47s and the 52s, and even in 97 there was a, you know, the 50-year anniversary, so there was an awful lot of chat about that, and you know, they were fantastic in their era. You know, there was while Ireland medals hanging out of cabin people for numerous years in the 40s and even into 52.
Yeah. Well, looking ahead to Sunday, you mentioned obviously the team in 97 was built on a group of experienced players, and then under-21s coming through. I suppose this team of yours is built basically on that great run as under-21, winning four Ulster titles in a row.
Well, yes, and I suppose it's a wee bit of a monkey off their back, you know, because after they won those four in a row, they're expected to do big things, and that doesn't always happen. And other countries have experienced the same, you know, that you win provincial titles and get to All-Ireland fines and that, and you're expected to do really well as senior. That didn't happen, Kevin. Now, there is a lot of experienced guys now, you know, under 28 and 29 from those four in a row. You know, and as I say, it didn't happen for them. But I think the way Kevin are playing, particularly this year, they've opened up a lot. And I'm glad to say all that negative 15 men behind the ball has changed a lot in other counties as well as Kevin. But watching them both against Monaghan, you know, I had that sneaky feeling we'd beat Monaghan. And then when Darren Hughes was out, I was that bit more confident. And Cavan people actually were, you know, this was a chance to catch Monaghan. Everyone was talking about the good side of the draw, and, you know, Monaghan did all stuff fine. But we knew if we could get over Monaghan, we had a good chance as well. And, you know, we played well against Monaghan. We were the better team. We went and met Armagh. Probably lucky to get over the drawn match. But the second game, I think we were worthy winners. And even when Armagh came back to win at a point, he showed great heart and maybe maturity more so than they ever had, you know, that they went on and won the game convincingly. Like 23 points was a fair scoreboard, and I always maintain if you score 17 or 18 points, you normally are on the winning side. So we'd be quite happy going into the Ulster final as complete underdogs, but we have the height respect for Donegal, and as I said earlier, you know, I think it's going to be a very traditional open final.
Mickey Lafferty, how do you see Donegal on Sunday? What do you make of Donegal in 2019?
Well, we went to Brewster Park the first game and kind of, you know, struggled a little bit to break down Fermanagh. But again, Fermanagh were Fermanagh, the way they play it. Donegal were quite patient and they used the ball very well, and then eventually got their noses in front and were able to close out the game quite well. Then against Tyrone, you know, Tyrone went into the game. They probably were the bookies' favourite. But Donegal put on a great performance. I don't think you could say that there was any Donegal man who played below par that day. Everybody seemed to click on the day. Tactically, they were very shrewd. And they negatived the main Tyrone threat up front. And Tyrone didn't seem to have a kind of a plan B to revert to. And Donegal came away, you know, convincing winners. The scoreline, it didn't really reflect the dominance of Donegal at all.
And, would that be a worry to you that it didn't, you know? Would that be a worry?
I don't think so, no. Donegal are not going to get carried away with that performance. They have their eyes on the prize, you know. Cavan will come in as underdogs because they come through, as Stephen said, the so-called, the perceived, you know, easier side. But there's nothing easy in an Ulster final. It's a 50-50.
I know you've watched Cavan in their two games against Armagh. What have you made of them?
I like the way they play football. You know, they're positive. They have a good mix. They have good attacking halfbacks, and they even have fullbacks who are coming up and scoring as well. And in the forward line, they have a good, reliable free taker also. And also, I like that McVitie guy. He's a very energetic, lively
McVitie,
player.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's caused trouble for a lot of defences. Mm. And, you know, they work very hard for one another, both in possession and out of possession. And obviously, Mickey Graham has brought some special ingredient to him because, you know, they don't look the Cavan of last year. They look a much more superior outfit this year. And it's going to be, I'm hoping for a really good open game of football and very entertaining football. And as Stephen says, they're, you know, Cavan and Donegal, there's lots of connections, there's lots of affinities there. And the banter on the terraces will be very good, I have no doubt.
Oliver, Garage McKernan is your home club, isn't he? Your
he'd be, yeah, Swanland Barris, where I played a lot of my football in when I was in Cavan, and Garage's, it would be a next door neighbour. He's moved up now, I think, to live in Butler's Bridge, but he's still playing with his home club. Like Michael, Cavan will be definitely underdogs. I think that this Donegal team, Owen Bann, Jamie Brennan, and I have a sneaking suspicion Owen McHugh may play. I think the pace of them fellas, I watched the game, I watched it again on TV, and I thought them three fellas in particular, when they run at a defence, can cause a lot of problems. And I think when Armagh ran at Cavan this year, they gave us a lot of problems. Jarlett Burns missed a goal in the first game, and then he scored in the second half. The last day, Jamie Clark ran at us early on and should have scored a goal. They came in a few more times, but Cavan are playing.
Have Cavan the players to trouble us like Jamie Clark or like?
Well, I think Michael has identified the one player that we have a great pace, and Darren McAveety has great pace, and he will be a problem. But I think Paddy McGrath will be trying to nullify that. Now, there's another young lad coming back from injury from the Butler's Bridge Club, O'Reilly, and I think hopefully he'll be fit. He came on the last day, and I'm hoping that he may be playing on Sunday. He's very pacey as well. The wing, the backs are coming up as well. They're not a slow team, but just Donegal have pace in abundance, and they have the people like Michael Murphy who are leaders, and they have the experience. They have won an All-Ireland. Frank McLean comes on and he steadies the ship, you know. My heart would be hoping Cavan would win. We need to win in Ulster. As I said to you earlier on, I hope that we get, if we are beaten, not by much, that we get to the Super 8s. I think it will bring on this bunch of players. Basically, they're a very young team, with the exception maybe of Martin Riley, who's 32, and Kieran Mackey, 33. But the rest of the lads are 27, 28 and younger. And I think they've done well. I saw most of their National League games. They weren't beaten by much or hammered by anybody in any of the games in Division 1. So I'm hoping that we have a good game of football. I hope you're wrong in your forecast, Tom. I hope the weather is good and we all enjoy a good game. I'm going up hoping for a Cavan win. My heart says Cavan, but unfortunately my head is overruling my heart, and yeah. I think Donegal will prevail on the day. But I hope for the best and see.
Just thinking, you would have worked with some of the Donegal players with Stephen when you were at the County Minors.
When I was with Stephen Friel, we had Owen Bann, Owen McHugh, Hugh McFadden, Kieran Thompson, Jamie Brennan, Ryan McHugh. All them fellas were 17 and 18 when we were there, and great lads, and you could see the potential in them at the time, and you'd know they were going to be footballers. So, but to have to Declan Boner needs great credit the way he's brought them on. Like when Declan came into the, was it in the early 90s or mid 90s he came in, and he was only within seconds of winning an Ulster title for Donegal that time, until Joe Brawley scored that famous goal,
the nudge in the back on Jeffrey McGonigal.
So Declan is a good manager, very astute. He's a very good backroom team, and I think Stephen Rochford seems to Donegal seem more mature this year. They seem very confident, and you'd be confident in all the games. All the games, I've saw them against Fermanagh, even when they were behind, they seemed to be in control. And against Tyrone, I mean, they were magnificent. From the goalkeeper up to Jamie, a corner forward, I mean, the kickouts, I think they were 100% success rate with his kickouts on the day. Magnificent altogether, yeah. You know.
And tell me, Paddy McDyer, how do you see it? What do you see about Sunday's game? I'm sure you're watching with interest.
Well, I was one of the few that predicted that Donegal would be thrown, and I almost got the score right because I said 115 to 12 points. Now, that was to my friends and my mates and stuff like that. But I think the big change that I see in the Donegal team of this year, and if you look back at the Super 8s last year when they played Dublin and Croke Park, they actually had Dublin very troubled in that game. And if we had had Paddy McBrady on that day, there's a very strong possibility that Donegal would have won that match.
Yeah.
And I still think that at this point in time, Donegal are the best placed team in the country to challenge Dublin.
Yeah.
Because they play a type of football that there is no other team can compete with. Their ball retention and their ball skills, from the full back right out to the corner forward, every player has it, and they're all interchangeable. Their backs play like forwards, the forwards can defend like backs. So I'll take a mighty team to beat them, and I expect they'll beat Cavan, but it won't be easy. It'll be a bit like the Fermanagh game, and that's not casting any aspersions on Cavan being defensive or anything like that, but I think they will pose problems for Donegal, but that's all good for them. Because if they get through that, there'll be a major force in the Super 8s.
I'm sorry, sorry, Michael, Christie and Oliver. Unfortunately, Paddy seems to be the most popular man in the studio tonight. Because best of luck to Donegal on Sunday, and a happy birthday to my dad, Paddy. Great to hear you, the old stories about Cavan from your son, was Garvin in Dubai. Yeah, he's sending a message
fantastic.
To you. Fantastic. So, listening to us in Dubai, he's listening, of course, on www.highlandradio.com. Well, Stephen, not much consolation here listening to those men.
No, but would you believe I'm agreeing with, you know, Mike and Paddy and Oliver, I'm agreeing with them. And, you know, believe it or not, I actually picked them all to win the Ulster title myself. Not knocking that we wouldn't be in the final with them, but I felt even the side of the draw were thrown, and I just from watching them against Mead, you know, where the backs were against the wall, you know, Murphy took the game with the scruff and neck, they won the Division 2 title. I have to say, I think Michael Murphy's probably one of the best footballers of his generation. Like, he's just he's a class act, and he carries himself well, you know, with his demeanour is good, and I agree as well with Declan Bonner. Declan Bonner's done a terrific job with Donegal, you know, when he served a time with the Miners, with Dunder 21s, he knows it about. And it was a very, very shrewd appointment of Stephen Rochford. Shrewd appointment. Yeah. Now, they have massive players. You know, you've mentioned Owen Bond, Gallagher, Michael Murphy, Paddy McBearty. Cavan are absolutely up against. There's no question about it. But I think that there's sometimes the underdog can get there. And we're all hoping for a good game, but as Mickey Graham wrote in the Hogan Stand, you know, if he doesn't believe he's winning, it, we'd be as well as stay at home. So he's going with a very confident outfit to Clonus. But, you know, your heart and your head, obviously, I'd be the same as Oliver. But I still think that we're going to be very, very close. I think if it's, the weather stays right, there'll be a good open game.
Take any consolation from Roscommon's win down in, I had to get that in from down in Galway. They were the raging hot out underdogs as well.
Well, there was two things in that. Number one, it was an absolute marvellous win for Roscommon. But for the life of me, and even still, and you know, watching the game at half-time, Gaul were in the ascendancy. They went in with the wind at their backs. They were playing by far the best football. And they came out at half-time and only scored 1 point in the second half. It is very hard to believe. Now, I'm not taking away from Roscommon yet, because the aggression and the attitude of Roscommon in the second half, totally different. They got the goal at a great time, and they were more than worthy winners. But you would say, where did Galway go? You know, because everything was in their favour in the second half. It didn't have... Those things can happen teams on the day.
Yeah. Group of us enjoying the programme from Boston. Hello to Mickey Lafferty. We only have 5 minutes left. The boss is due back any minute. Good luck to Donegal on Sunday. Best of luck to Donegal on Sunday, and a happy birthday to my daddy Paddy. That's, we've done that already. Great to hear the stories about Columba. That's from Garvin in Dubai. And good luck to Oliver. Hope he enjoys the game on Sunday. A great volunteer for the Convoy Club. So somebody's listening as well in Convoy. Our other guest, Christy Murray, is about to wrap it up. We're just coming to the end here. Of course, we will have live coverage of the game on Sunday. We'll have our preview as usual on Saturday, even though it's a busy rally weekend. My thanks to my guests tonight, to Michael Lafferty, to Paddy McDyer, and those great stories about his dad and the cup and or the medal being melted down into a chalice, to Oliver Prunty, and to Christy Murray, who's going to play us out in a moment. I'm not sure where he's going to play. My thanks also to Jimmy Stafford and to Kevin Fury, who took over for the second half of the programme. From me, Tom Comick, Cuigín Seachtain, Sé Chugainn, Slán agus Beannacht.